You're connected to the Cricket and Seagull Fireside Chat. This week, Mercyville, new music from Afterglow.
Bringing music and interviews to Latter-day Saints and their friends worldwide, The Cricket and Seagull features the unique voices of LDS authors and artists, singers, songwriters, and more. Brought to you this week by PositiveMusicAndDownloads.com. Music that's uplifting, affirming, and positive. PositiveMusicAndDownloads.com.
I'm Stephen Cap Perry, of original songs written to celebrate the joys and challenges of life. Messages include serving others, dealing with loss, experiencing joy, and finding our way through life's trials. In this edition, Joel McCausland and Kevin Pei talk about 30 years of singing, the songs they wrote for this first new studio album in a decade, and their voices strong as ever show why Afterglow has been the number one LDS vocal group of all time. That's this week on The Cricket and Seagull.
Though I saw you, you didn't see me. As you looked up to the skies and whispered words deep from your heart, tears streaming from your eyes.
My guests today here in the FM 1, who've been singing together for how many years, Joel?
Wow, at least 30. Sometimes we lose track of that in the mists of time, but since we were juniors in high school, I guess, so yeah.
Tell me, Kevin, about how you got together and began singing.
Well, he was singing on an assembly at Pleasant Grove High School, and I was finishing baseball practice. Heard him in the auditorium plunking a few tunes, and walked in one day after baseball practice, and he said, put some harmony to that, and we did, and we sang on the assembly, and the rest is kind of history.
Was this an original song you were doing at the time?
I'm trying to remember what we did. I think it was either something by Barry Manilow or All by Myself by Eric Carmen or some other thing that was popular at the time.
Some of us do remember. Those albums.
That's right. It goes back a ways. But
how long was it after that you began recording and people began knowing Afterglow?
The fall of 1980, actually, Joel was doing some restaurant work and he invited me to come along and we went down to Old Dan Tucker's on the top of the Orem Provo Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was an old restaurant there and we sang there for, probably...
Several months anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, several months, and somebody walked in one night and said, do you guys do firesides? And we said, well, what's that? And but then the rest died over in Alpine, Utah, and word spread and we were getting ready to go on our missions and spent a lot of time through that process prior to him leaving to Japan and me leaving to St. Louis before we went to the MTC and did a lot of singing and performances and had a lot of fun through that process. We walked out of the restaurant one night. There was a beautiful sunset. We said, what's that? Said, that's an afterglow at the end of the day. And so it kind of stuck, and the rest is kind of history.
Just over that rise is the Valley of Peace, where the river of thanks does flow. Each new sip lifts up the soul.
This is a brand new album called Mercyville. Afterglow artists share the songwriting duties, just about half and half.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting process. We don't co-write. Normally we wouldn't do that. I guess that's just the pace of life and everything going on. We'll go kind of do our thing and, you know, live our separate lives in that respect. And, you know, we each write a song or two or five or six, and then we come together and put together an album from those songs. We've joked about this before, but there have been times when one of us has walked into the studio to record a song that they have never heard before that the other one wrote. So there's a fair amount of trust here that whatever the other one's writing is going to be something that's appropriate for the album and something that will work well for the album. And that's always worked out well for us.
You know, you both have great ranges. How do you decide who does the high harmony, the low harmony, or is it just whatever fits with whoever is doing the solo?
He's always been kind of the bass foundation. And I started doing harmony. And, of course, my voice is a lot more tenor. Joel's more baritone.
More pure. His voice is more pure than mine. And he's better at doing harmonies than I am. So he's, yeah.
So it's just kind of stuck that way. And every once in a while, he'll let me take a lead every once in a while.
How good of him.
In Mercyville.
Kevin, you told me that you were picking songs, writing songs, putting together an album. But when you found this song, Don Sterling, Brett Raymond's song, Mercyville, that it all kind of came together.
You know, we've been writing over the course of the last 10 years, but we had the privilege of actually doing a lot of different genres of music since the Deseret Book days in 1984. And after we did our little country thing, when we did two CDs back in Nashville and did some country stuff.
Yeah, McCausland and Pate.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then we've rebranded all that back underneath Afterglow on a CD called Versatility. But we kind of just ran out of things and ideas and stuff. And so it was nice to be able to check back in and say, what's on our minds? we, and sure enough, it was just one of those situations where there was just still something missing. Mm-hmm. Even though we looked at it, we thought, what is the theme behind what we're writing? And one day I popped over to Don's office and he said, you know, I've got a song you should hear. Brett and I wrote this a number of years ago and nobody's ever picked it up. And as soon as I heard it, there was just something magical about it. And the title, Mercyville, with the substance and the content of that song, when I sent it over to Joel, he affirmed that that felt right. And
yeah, it's really a perfect fit. The content of this album is pretty wide and varied. I mean, it's all faith-based and inspirational, but there's a lot of different topics being covered. And to have something like Mercyville come up that, as Kevin was saying, has sort of just cemented it together. And not only is it a great song, but the message behind it is tremendous, too.
Somebody once said to me just recently when they went through all the songs, they said, well, it's interesting because even though there's different topics associated, every one of these songs deal with the topic of mercy.
One that's a different take on a story we know very well, Joel, is The Return of the Prodigal, mm-hmm. only it's from the brother's viewpoint.
I didn't recognize him when I saw him at the door. Dust and grime of many miles hung on the clothes he wore.
I've always thought it was a great story. And when I sat down to write it, I actually wrote this song in parts. The first concept came to me probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, in fact. And I wrote part of the song and I got stuck. I couldn't quite finish it either musically or message-wise. And in fact, I almost kind of lost touch. I hadn't really recorded it. I'd just been sitting down and playing with some chords and kind of running it through my head, and I'd not taken the time to really record the song, so I actually lost the thread. I lost the thread of the melody and the message and the whole thing. And my home teacher was over one night by that, and he said, when you get that done, I want to hear it, and I'd love to have you get it on a CD.
When the prodigal returns, the heavens ring with praise. When the prodigal comes home, the father celebrates.
So I sat down as we started with this project, actually for this project, Mercyville, I sat down and tried to resurrect that song a little bit. And at first it wouldn't come. It was almost like I was sort of resisting it. It was odd. Usually if I've got an idea, it'll come fairly quickly. Maybe I was approaching it wrong because I actually had to change the point of perspective to get to the song. That was the thing that happened in the writing, is that I kind of discovered maybe there was another way to look at it, another aspect of the story that doesn't always get touched upon. It was a little different than what I'd had in the beginning, but the song turned out pretty well. And then our arrangers took this one in another direction than I had originally written it for. It's got a little bit more edge to it. I just really love the way
really
it turned out.
Really interesting guitar riff at the beginning that kind of sets the rhythm.
Yeah.
I can be grateful. I can be smart.
Kevin, speaking of mercy, one of these was one you had done earlier as a duet with Jesse Clark Funk on a benefit CD.
I've been doing some things for humanitarian efforts and work for a foundation for quite some time, and that's been on my mind quite a bit. And one that was written with Jesse specifically was Stand for Something, which was a tribute to President Hinckley. But there are some others on there, The Eyes of a Child, that have been on my mind for quite some time in regards to some of the disasters and things that are going on throughout the world. And Jesse sang part of Stand for Something, and it was just a song that I guess couldn't let go. And it wasn't quite finished yet. There was still something left for it to do. And as soon as I heard Joel on that, on the main lead, then I knew that if he would allow it to happen, it was a song that I wanted to make sure was on this album as well.
I want forever to be.
More with Joel McCausland, Kevin Pay, and Mercyville when the...
The 2009 EFY CD and songbook has just been released, and you'll find it at PositiveMusicAndDownloads.com. The songs, the artists, it's here to inspire and uplift. Be Thou an Example is the EFY 2009 CD, sure to be a family favorite, featuring up-and-coming artists like Benson Paul and Julie Yardley, plus international recording artist and pianist William Joseph. Be Thou an Example contains a stirring compilation of hymns and energetic numbers by Jenny Frogley, Mindy Gledhill, Peter Brinehold, and more.
Now I can feel the rain wash my fears away, and suddenly I know it's gonna be...
Be Thou an Example is available now at PositiveMusicAndDownloads.com.
Stephen Cap Perry here. I hope you'll join us for one of our annual church history tours. Coming up May 29th to June 8th, it's spring in the Holy Land. There is nothing like walking in the footsteps of the prophets of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of those prophecies in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Also, right before Fall Conference, September 23rd through October 1st, we'll visit Palmyra, Kirtland, Nauvoo, and Independence. Each of these tours is a wonderful time to see and learn the history we love, to pull out the scriptures, to study, to ponder, get new insights, and make wonderful new friends while traveling. Visit StephenCapPerry.com for details. We hope to explore church history with you. You're connected to the Cricket and Seagull Fireside Chat. Now more from Mercyville, new from Afterglow.
Day after day, we walk, we travel onward. How long must we go on today?
My trek is one that hits a chord with a lot of folks who, in I think the last 15 years, have started doing treks quite a bit.
This has been several years ago, probably almost 10, in fact. I got a chance to participate in our stakes trek, and we went to Martin's Cove. My assignment that particular day to help with the trek was to be at the cove. And as groups of kids came through, groups of families came through, I gave a little bit of a talk and did a hymn, actually a version of There Is a Green Hill Far Away. And we talked and sort of just reflected on the place and the message and all the great things that we have gained as a culture of it. And I shared a little of that with the group then. But I finished the song later, and I just think it reflects something that a lot of people have now had a shared experience around, and my hope was that it would help them remember how they felt when they were on trek. It would help them reflect back on those things and then relate some of those experiences to what they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
This is my trek, to follow the Savior and the saints who left a legacy for me in latter days. This is my
one that was very, very simple, but very beautiful, is the one you end with. It's I Believe.
It's one that simply is putting yourself out there just to simply have faith, hope, and charity and the love of Christ. And so when this one came, it was kind of circling around once you get into difficult times that you've got to figure out a way to get out. You got to keep holding on rather than just giving up.
I've watched the many images come in. See the endless wonder in your eyes.
The belief factor came into that one, and it's the way that it turned out.
Now, you both sang together before your missions, you sang together after. So the brave women who married you married into the Afterglow experience. I wonder if you would comment a little bit on how much you perform now as opposed to later, or how did that work while your kids were little and where you are now?
There was a time when clearly, even though they married into it, it was, you know, we were gone a lot. We sang a lot. We used to do, gosh, there were probably 3 or 4 years right after we both got married when we were performing 8 or 10 times a month on average. Mm. So, you know, every couple of days we were doing something, and without their support, without their willingness to let us go, it would have been very tough. And they've always been very, I'll speak for Kelly, and I'm sure Cindy's been exactly the same way, but they've been very supportive, and that's been nice to be able to do the things we do. And today we don't do nearly as that life has given us at this point, try to do fewer things in maybe a little bit bigger way. But yeah, from the beginning, without our families feeling like it was okay for us to be out there, it would have been very hard to do.
I see the light of one more day. I hear the voice of those who pray.
Kevin, I wonder if you talk about One More Day.
It was actually written before 9/11. And then all of a sudden, you know, I hear that there's another song called One More Day that comes out by Lone Star.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, should I change the title? Of course, theirs is a country song, and mine is more based upon believing and helping each other get to one more day. And it was written from a perspective of those who have lost loved ones. It was written from a perspective of whenever you hear somebody going through difficulty, oftentimes there's somebody right close by, whether it be a friend, family, or somebody who has moved on past the veil, that is picking us up and helping us just try and get through one more day. And as we do that, one day at a time, we begin to gain a little bit more faith and substance to keep moving forward days and days and days at a time. So it collects.
I can feel the feeling in your heart. We'll find a way.
give each other hope, to help each other live for one more day.
Just trying to get through one more day is hard for a lot of us, but that's what it's all about.
In the LDS music market, you guys are kind of the originators of the liner notes. In fact, some of your recordings feature a fireside kind of presentation where you'll actually set up the song with a scripture or a thought beforehand. Is that just always been part of what you do?
It came to be when we started, prior to the songs, when we were actually doing a fireside or even at some type of an event, and it kind of stuck with us for a while.
The first recording we ever did, and it's not something that we, I don't know that we're even musically very proud of it. You can hear the piano bench squeaking. It was recorded in my aunt's living room, you know. But it was something we did prior to our mission, and that's exactly what we were going through at the time. Actually, several people said, could you take this fireside that you've begun to do and put it on tape? You guys are going to be gone. Can you do that? So I think that was what sort of drove the recording, is we weren't just recording music. We were trying to replicate that fireside experience. And even after we got home and we were sort of getting more serious about turning it into albums, CDs, that sort of thing. Well, I guess it was tapes at the time. You know, then we started thinking, okay, it's a collection of music. And so for probably the first two or three CDs after we got home, we did include the liner notes. And then after a while, started thinking, well, okay, maybe it can just be a collection of music. But I think we've always liked the idea. We've always appreciated the ability to kind of say to our audience, here's where the song came from, or here's what it makes us think about and feel, and maybe you'll enjoy it on some similar level as well.
And you've carried through. There's a class of people like me who read every punctuation mark on an album because we want to know who did what, who played together. The album is called Mercyville, and it's available in LDS bookstores right now, or people can go online and find it at afterglowmusic.com. Kevin and Joel, Afterglow, both of you, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks.
They rescued me.
Thanks to Kevin Pay, Joel McCausland, and Sounds of Zion. Find out more online at afterglowmusic.com.
The Cricket and Seagull is owned and produced by Word of Mouth Media, with production assistance from FM 100.3 in Salt Lake City, where you can hear soft Sunday sounds streaming worldwide on the net 24/7 at fm100.com. Brought to you this week by positivemusicanddownloads.com. Email to suggest a guest or a topic at info@wordofmouthmedia.net. Theme music by Kurt Bester and all musical excerpts used by permission. Copyright 2009. Also, check out the Cricket and Seagull Fireside Chat, a new group on Facebook.
I'm Stephen Cap Perry. Join me next week for another edition of the Cricket and Seagull.
He rescues me. He shows the way. From the darkest night. I'll go.